All right, so welcome to the second half of the cliffhanger edition of Because You Can't Read All the Time. I'm here with Aaron and Hitchens the dog.
Yay!
I've decided to give Hitchens a credit because I realized you can often hear him in the background editorializing on various things, so I figured, what the hell.
He has a lot to say.
He does. He has a lot of opinions, which is why we named him after Christopher Hitchens.
Wise choice.
Actually, that's not why we did. I was reading a book by Christopher Hitchens, and I was like, oh, why not Hitchens? And at that time, we didn't realize both Christopher Hitchens and the dog were deathly ill, and we didn't know that about either of them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Hitchens pulled through for some reason, and, you know, we're still waiting to hear on my man C. Hitch, but, yeah, so that's, the opinion thing was just a happy coincidence, so.
Wow, that took a deeper, darker turn than I had foreseen.
It did, and I didn't mean to, but anyway, if anyone's wondering, that's the origin story of Hitchens the dog, so, anyway, but we are going to finish our discussion on Stuff Everybody Hates That We Love, which means Erin's going to continue her discourse on Miss Spears.
Yeah, I'll have to apologize for last week because I did hang up in a fit of fury. Mm. This is kind of a sensitive topic for me. Mm. But I've had a week to think about it. And, you know, I don't think, as much as I love Britney Spears, I don't think she alone can break a friendship like ours, Maggie.
I think that the listeners at home should consider this sort of the podcast equivalent of the Beatles concert on the roof.
Yeah.
The old gang getting back together, smoothing over their differences.
So yeah, just put that in your cap and hang on to that.
We
put
now,
that in your, ruminate on it, if you will.
We now have long beards.
Yeah, it's a good thing this is a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a lot of reasons. But anyway, so continue your discourse on Miss Spears. We were talking about how, you know, Britney Spears has obviously fallen from grace in the public estimation, and Aaron disagrees.
Well, okay. I guess.
Sorry, continue. I'm going to. See, Hitchens obviously has a lot to say about this. But get started, and I will. I'm going to restrain him.
Many people need to be restrained in situations regarding Britney Spears, or B. Spear, as I like to call her. Anyways, so I started off on this saying that, you know, I often get ostracized for my feelings on Britney Spears because, you know, people either take it as a sort of joke or they just are so disbelieving that I can enjoy her music.
Yeah.
And I am realistic about the fact that, you know, she's not a singer-songwriter. She's
right.
Not the one producing all of this. She's not really a mastermind in any way.
No.
And there are a lot of people handling her and doing
right.
that. But as far as you can say, you know, I'm a Britney Spears fan and I enjoy what she stands for and her producing team, then yeah, I am a Britney Spears fan, and I am realistic about her shortcomings, and, you know, it is a little trashy, especially when she shaved her head, but I'm on
that's
the
not really,
Spears back.
That's not really trashy so much as it is just, like, sad and disturbing. I mean, I don't know that I'm like, oh, that's trashy how you shaved your head like that. That was more weird than anything.
Point taken. But I guess, so, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm differentiating myself in the sense that a lot of people jumped on the wagon when she did that because it was like, oh, now she's in the public's eye. But no, I was there when she was like doing Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Right.
And so for me, that was more sort of
sorry.
Team Britney. Don't worry.
I'm sorry about the crazy dog. I don't know what his problem is. I think this Britney talk has him all wound up. But
we said his name too many times, probably. It's like saying Beetlejuice.
Yeah, it brought him to life. So anyway, so you've been Team Spears this whole time, which I find interesting. Because for those of you who don't know, Erin's very educated. Like, she's a very educated person and very intelligent, and she could be a fan of anything, you know? But she's chosen to hang her hat in the Britney Spears camp.
It says a lot. I mean, it's a lifestyle choice. And as an educated, you know, choosy person.
Yeah.
I've chosen this. And I mean, I have wide music tastes. Like, I have a wide variety of musicians I listen to and enjoy. And it's not even a matter of the brain candy thing that mm-hmm. I think we spoke of briefly. You know, to a certain extent, yeah, I can turn my mind off. Like, I don't have to think while I'm listening to Britney Spears.
So it's like a zen experience for you.
Yeah, but it's also enjoyable on an aesthetic level because, I mean, you know, there's something there. It's not just, like, throwaway. There's a reason why she's been popular for as long as she has been.
Well, and it's worth mentioning that Aaron's interest is not ironic at all. Like,
yes,
that was my question. I'm like, oh, so you like Britney Spears, you know, like, haha, isn't it funny how I like Britney Spears? But no, she's legitimately a fan, and I think that lack of irony is to be commended in today's world.
Yeah, because a lot of people think I'm a hipster. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe I am. But
I think you straddle the fence, you know, between, you're not earnest, like, you're not super earnest, which I guess it, for some people, is enough to make you a hipster. I don't know.
Well, the way it's been explained to me is that, you know, you become a hipster when you're not sure whether you like things ironically or just for the sake of what they are. Mm-hmm. And Britney Spears is a clear-cut example of when I do actually enjoy that production value.
Yeah.
But I can point to a lot of other things where maybe the line isn't quite as clear. So, for instance, Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
Stuff like the Hannah Montana stuff. Like, okay, yeah, no, I don't think that's good.
Yeah.
But I do find some amusement in it, so I enjoy it on some level. Is it ironic? I don't know.
Yeah, you know? And I think that's a phenomenon that was touched on very eloquently by The Simpsons in the Hullapalooza episode, where Homer becomes a human cannonball. And he starts touring around with this Hullapalooza tour, and he gets up to do his human cannonball thing. And he's not a human cannonball. Let me correct myself. They shoot a cannonball at him.
And, oh, that's right.
And he can survive. And so he gets up there, and one of the teenagers in the crowd goes, oh, it's that cannonball guy. He's cool. And the other guy goes, are you being sarcastic? And he goes, dude, I don't even know anymore. And I think that adequately sums up my attitude toward a lot of things, I'll be honest. But, you know, like, I would say that your love of Britney Spears is similar to my unabashed love of Justin Bieber. I swear, it's like that young man is singing right to me and to my heart.
I didn't know. I did not know this about you.
Oh, no. Oh, yes. And I hope that we can still be friends.
No, don't worry. I saw the Never Say Never 3D.
Oh, my God, me too.
Did you like the part where his hair, yes, like, swooshed?
Yes. I loved it too much. I loved it in a way I didn't know I could love something like that.
I'll admit, I flinched many times during that movie. Oh. I was like, it's just too real.
It's just, damn it, he's too complex. The weirdest thing about that movie is what a non-entity Justin Bieber was in that movie. Like, yeah. He barely spoke. It was mostly people talking about him, and then when he did talk, he kind of seemed like he had a lot of growing up to do. But when he sings or plays one of his many instruments, oh my God in heaven.
That is where God is, I'm told.
And heaven is also where Justin Bieber will be someday.
His sweet little angel.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be an older man at that point. But yeah, he's awesome. And it was really funny because I went to go see the movie as a joke. Like, my friend and I were like, oh, Justin Bieber, he's cool. So, like, we went to go see this movie and we're like, oh, this is going to be hilarious. And by the time it was over, it could not have been more effective propaganda if it had been produced by Goebbels. Okay, like, by the time it was over, I was like, Justin Bieber, tell me to go kill my parents and I will.
That is not like you, Maggie.
I know, I've never done that. Still
well,
okay, haven't.
That's...
Still, when the cops find this, I'll have a lot of explaining to do. But, No, it was awesome. And I went home and I downloaded every Justin Bieber song I could get my hands on.
And legally or illegally?
Legally. But I would have to say that I know of a couple people that's happened to. And most recently, my friend posted on Facebook this morning. So I downloaded the Justin Bieber movie as a joke, and then I went home and downloaded every Justin Bieber song I could find. Like, this is a real phenomenon with women our age who watch this movie ironically and end up just loving it.
I'll say I was unaffected. I actually was affirmed in my belief that it's not something I want to buy into.
Are you a robot?
I found it a little creepy.
Are you a robot?
Well, I have robotic features. I don't like to talk about it much.
I've been told I resemble a robot, yes.
No, but I did. I mean, there were just a lot of, similar to Sound of Music, there were a lot of plot points in that documentary that left me wondering what's going on there. Like, the father that showed up for the first gig
cried and left.
Yeah. What's up with that? And also the guy who was introduced as being like his father, but was just the stage manager.
Yeah.
I was a little weirded out by the whole thing. And I was also weirded out by the many times he seemed to be reaching out directly to me. I mean,
those were the best times for me, but
I'm just not cougar material is all I'm saying. And I'm not ready for it. So
I never thought I was. And I used to maintain for a long time, like, oh, I just like his music, you know, I just really love his music, and I just don't even pretend anymore. Mostly because after a wine night a few nights ago, I kind of just opened up on my feelings on Justin Bieber to a bunch of people, and there's no coming back from that.
Wow.
They all now know that I have a less than wholesome interest in Justin Bieber, and you know what? He's what, like, he's going to be 18 soon, right? But the important thing is, I'm not trying to hunt him down. I'm not, like, writing letters or anything. I just, you know, if it came to that, you know, whatever.
It came to what?
Don't ask me to elaborate, okay?
Yeah, I don't think I want to know.
No, again, when the cops find this, I'm already so screwed, okay?
This is very, very dangerous for you right now.
I'm walking a fine line. Anyway, so I would say my point is that I have a totally unironic love of Justin Bieber, the man and the music. And I think that in a not romantic way, you have similar feelings for Britney Spears, where you just really love what she's putting out there.
Yeah, not romantic.
Yeah, which if you were, that would be okay.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Okay.
Necessarily.
It's whatever you're comfortable with. I'm not going to pressure you into anything.
Just saying.
Okay. All right. So that is Erin's thing everyone else hates that she loves, and my thing that I just love. What?
Nothing. You continue.
Okay. So we talked about it, and I don't really have a thing that everybody else hates that I love. But we did both talk about Glee, which is something I used to love but now hate. And Erin has just recently discovered Glee, so.
Very recently, actually, while on painkillers after my wisdom teeth were removed. I watched, like, 3 or 4 straight through from the beginning, and I was resistant at first. I don't know why, like, there was no real reason. I think I was just kind of resistant to starting something new.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's enjoyable, and I mean, we can get back into this since I'm only in the very beginning of the first season, but I don't know if that's because, you know, it's new or I'm just in the new Glee glow.
Yes, I know it well.
What?
I know it well.
Oh, no. Well, and also, I mean, the painkillers might have had something to do with it.
And let me tell you why it's so fitting that that's how you first saw Glee and that we're having this discussion after a talk on your love of Britney Spears, because that is the exact episode when I stopped loving Glee. That was when, for me, Glee jumped the shark, because there is an episode where all the songs are Britney Spears songs. There's no plot, and the way they justify going into these Britney Spears songs apropos of nothing is that kids are voluntarily going to a dentist played by John Stamos to get put under. Yes. Okay. Which, I don't know if that sounds like the most awesome thing I've ever heard of, or the worst, but I'll tell you that in practice, it's the worst thing I've ever seen. And I had just finally convinced Jeremy to sit down and watch it with me, because I'd been watching it all season long. I was like, oh, this Glee show, it's so great, and I just, you know, I did all the plays and the choirs and stuff in high school, and like, and I just, you know, it's like Friday Night Lights for choir geeks, you know, you're gonna, you know, just indulge me and watch this with me. And when it was over, Maggie, what the hell did you just make me watch?
Oh, no.
He was so upset. And it was embarrassing. Like, I felt bad. I felt like, why did I just subject someone I loved to this? Because that was the
It
whole...
just feels, I don't know, the fact that that's the episode and that it's like, it impacts on my life in so many different ways. Like, I'm my mind has kind of been blown right now.
And I would encourage you to watch it, because I started out liking Glee with the first, like, half of the first season. Because it was more, yeah, they broke it out into song, and maybe the kids were a little more talented than your average kid, but it was still basically relatable, especially as someone who was friends with a lot of artsy types in high school. I was like, yeah, you know, I identify with this. This is fun. They do a lot of show tunes. Nobody listens to show tunes anymore. I could support it, and I loved it. And, you know, I felt like, oh, the kids are all learning, and the teacher's learning with them, and isn't that great? And then at some point, it just got weird, and they stopped. And I think it's the same thing that happened with that Royal Wedding Facebook group that we talked about, where they just got drunk on their own power. And they took what was initially a delightful, enjoyable concept that a lot of people could relate to, and then turned it into this weird thing that, like, people would just kept coming back to that well because it used to be pretty great. And, you know, it's nice to see attractive people sing songs you love. I don't know.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, I mean, as far as going to that attractive people part, yeah, actually, I can pinpoint why I was resistant to watching, because now that I think of it, that Matthew Morrison guy, he used to go to my high school, and not when I was there, obviously, he's a bit older, but he went to the arts high school that I went to, and then he would come back and visit for, like, benefits and shows and stuff, and he knew one of my creative writing teachers, so he would kind of jump in and say hello or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he seemed kind of like a jerk.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can't put my finger on it, and I've heard reports in magazines that he's kind of weird and, you know, kind of douchey, and I don't know. I don't know the guy, but he did come off unfavorably.
Really?
So, yeah, and again, I have no real evidence, and can't really put my finger on one instant where, you know, I was like, yeah, that guy's bad, but
yeah,
he just gives off this vibe that I don't like, and maybe that's why I've been resistant for so long, and I can see someone like that getting drunk on his own power and good looks.
Well, and it's not him that would be doing it. I mean, I think it's the guy who produces the show, Ryan Murphy, who did Popular back in the 90s. And I think for him, this is just like, I think this show has officially run longer than Popular ever did. And so I think this is probably what Popular would have become if it had stayed on the air, just this terrible, terrible way for Ryan Murphy to do whatever he wants, unfettered. Like, I don't know.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah, and if you go, I mean, people are deep in this Glee thing. I mean, you can find on the Onion AV Club, the guy has a three Glees theory, that there's three different strands that Glee follows depending on who is, like, writing the episode that week. I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, people get into it.
Yeah, I'm never going to become a Gleek, that's for sure. I think it's one of those things where, like, yeah, this weekend I've been on painkillers and I had nothing else to do, so it was a good idea, but, and I enjoyed it, but, I mean,
that's how a lot of flings, that's how a lot of flings start and end.
With painkillers.
Exactly.
And missing teeth. Mm. No, I just can't see myself getting so worked up that I wait for a new episode every night, and I don't know. Like, I just can't see you getting that worked up, so.
Well, let me hit you with this thing, okay? I couldn't think of
a thing.
I couldn't think of a clever way to. But Daniel Radcliffe, I just found out, is going to be on the series finale of Glee. which there are a lot of weird, weird girls who are losing their minds over this, I'm sure. There is an overlap there of people who are just losing their minds over this.
I'm sure they're...
And I know you have a Daniel Radcliffe story, and I'm not going to ask you to tell it if it's too personal.
it's not. I'll tell it, but go on.
Okay, awesome, because I love that story. But I'm wondering if, you know, his only real experience on the stage that I can track down is Equus, in which he plays a boy who has an inappropriate relationship with a horse. And so I'm like, is there going to be some kind of tie-in?
Well, isn't he on Broadway again now, possibly with the same story or similar bestiality story?
He's become a real one-note person.
You want bestiality, you go to Daniel Radcliffe.
You know who's into weird stuff? I hope not. I kind of hope he does something else, because otherwise he's gonna start getting typecast.
Wizards and horses.
A wizard who has a weird thing for animals.
Well, speaking of weird thing for animals, so this is my Daniel Radcliffe story.
Okay.
Again, it's like a sort of non-story. It could have happened. I don't know. It's like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. I don't know. So a long, long time ago, when I was in London, I worked at a yogurt stand. Mm-hmm. I always have to explain this part because it's a little weird. Basically, I got up and I sold yogurt from like Muesli's, like yogurt with stuff in it. At a kiosk in train stations at 6 a.m. until, like, 10:30. Mm-hmm. And it was really weird. Made a lot of good money. People were nice, though. Whatever.
Right.
So during this time, Daniel Radcliffe was doing Equus. And, you know, that didn't really affect my personal life, whatever. Mm-hmm. Was kind of under the radar for me. So, didn't really think about it until, so I was working at this yogurt place and they had to train me, and I had a very nice Irish lady who was training me, and she was great, like probably one of the nicest people you'll ever meet at 6 a.m. in a busy train station in London. Great. Like, I really liked working with her. She was sweet. Mm-hmm. And then one day, so the training had ended or whatever, and I was on my own, and some guy comes up and is like, oh, hey, where's Harry Potter's girlfriend? And I was like, what does that even mean? What are you talking about? Like, that's the weirdest thing.
Are you trying to buy drugs or?
Yeah, I know. I was like, this is a yogurt stand.
I run a respectable yogurt shop, young man.
So I'm confused. Mm-hmm. And, says, yeah, you know, Daniel Radcliffe is doing that play here in London, and that girl you were working with, I think her name was Laura. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember anymore, it's that long ago. He's like, you know, Laura, she's his girlfriend. And I was like, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. I gave him his yogurt, whatever. During the day, I happened to be at school, and I had, like, a few minutes downtime, and so, of course, I was on Perez Hilton. Mm-hmm. And she was on there with Daniel Radcliffe, like, in a picture. And there was this whole post about how Daniel Radcliffe's dating this slightly older woman. She was, like, 2 years older or something.
Oh, okay.
And how she's so poor. She's working at a yogurt stand. Mm-hmm. And how, like, she must be after his money. And how she apparently was also an understudy at the Equus show. And yeah, they were an item, and I never brought it up to her because I saw her a few times after that. I just thought it was a little weird, but
yeah.
Apparently her and Daniel were together the whole time I knew her. Ooh. And yeah, so that's my little Daniel Radcliffe story.
Yeah, well, she lived, like, down the street from you, didn't she? Like, you would see her, like, out your window, not that you were looking for her, but...
Well, no, I worked with her. Like, I went to a couple of, like, drinks events and, like, dinners with her, and, like, I worked alongside her for, like, weeks.
So, are they still together, or?
No, they broke up, like, maybe a year after that.
So, she's back to selling yogurt in the train stations?
Well, I hope she's got a successful theater career by now, but...
And that girl's name was Kate Middleton.
Now you know my dark secret. I am Kate Middleton's friend slash coworker. Can I actually? This reminds me of something. That's another thing. I know we've kind of moved on to things people hate that we love, but I'll just throw this in there for good measure.
Okay.
I know people love the Harry Potter thing.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yes.
I just don't get it. Like, a bunch of nerdy wizards. It's a children's book, first of all. Let me begin by saying that. I'm not a child. I'm a grown-ass adult.
Yeah, you are. She is. I can vouch for that.
Thank you. And I saw the first movie. I'll admit, I've never read any of the books, but I saw the first movie, and I was just kind of like, I could care less.
Yeah, and I started reading them when I was a kid and they first came out. And then as I got older, Harry Potter got older with me, but I just didn't give a damn.
He can do what he wants.
Yeah, I was reading it and I was just like, okay, well, I can kind of see where this is going. I was like, Ron's going to end up with Hermione, and he's probably going to end up marrying Ron's sister someday when they're older. And I remember telling kids this in like, ninth grade, and they were like, no, Harry's going to end up with Hermione. And I was like, no, that's not the way stories work. Have you ever read a book? Okay? If you've read a
book... No, apparently a lot of them hadn't.
A lot of them hadn't.
Which is why it was so great.
Yeah, just this one book. And so then I didn't read them, and then the last book came out. And everyone's like, oh my god, Harry ends up with Ron's little sister and Ron and Hermione end up together. I'm like, yeah, I called that like 5 years ago, which just proves to me that I didn't need to read the books, you know? And then J.K. Rowling, you know, clearly she was a one-trick pony, and she's just trying to milk this for all it's worth. Like, a year after the last book comes out, she's like, oh, Dumbledore, the wizard principal, was gay. And I was like, that has to be the most pointless, like, addendum to a book series I've ever heard.
Yeah, because that changes everything.
Yeah, I'm like, it changes nothing, and who cares? And this is just smacks of, you know, trying to stay relevant. Like, you know. And then, yeah, I was just waiting for her the next year to be like, oh, it turns out I was gay the whole time, too.
That would be awesome, actually.
Well, like, for all the bearing it would have had on the book, like, okay.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to see who else is gay. Is all.
That's the only thing that was keeping me going. Yeah, so I never really got it, you know, and I just feel like, and then the actors who played them, they're like, oh, Harry, I love Harry. And I'm like, Harry is benefiting totally from playing Harry Potter. No one would look twice at this kid if he weren't Harry Potter. And that poor Ron kid, I'm sorry.
And wasn't he, like, filmed hitting a bong recently, and now that's... You know, it's the stages of child star development.
Oh, he's going to go all Lindsay Lohan.
Probably. I mean, he's a redhead.
I know. He'll be flashing his piece out on the lanes.
Oh, God. Although I do like the Hermione chick. I think she's cute. And I think she seems very smart.
Can we talk about how she dropped out of Brown and no one knows why? And the conjecture is that she was getting bullied because she played Hermione.
She probably just had, like, a bigger offer to do a movie. And
she probably
was like, oh.
She probably did, but all the stories, like, oh, she got tired of being bullied, you know, for playing Hermione. And I'm like, first of all, are people at Brown really that petty? And second of all, like, who the hell cares? Like, if she can't hang because people are making fun of her for being rich and successful, she probably, you know, this whole life thing probably isn't for her.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
Like, really? That has to be the saddest reason that I've ever heard to drop out of anything.
Take your pixie cut and your cute mod clothing elsewhere.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, so can I ask you another question? And the reason I know your Daniel Radcliffe story, we talked about this, like, a long time ago, but the reason it came up is because didn't I did, I had a story, someone, a mutual friend of ours in London saw him on stage, and didn't he pass gas on stage, like, audibly?
I had forgotten about that.
That's how I know that story, because I was telling you, oh, you know, so-and-so went to go see Equus, and I guess he, like, passed gas on stage.
And wasn't he naked at the time as well?
Well, that was how we made it more embarrassing in our minds. Because the thing about Equus is it was the play where they're like, oh, you can see Daniel Radcliffe naked. There's a nude scene, like a live nude scene on stage. And so that was what we brought up after I told that story. We were like, oh, and he was naked. Like, how embarrassing would that be if it was during his nude scene?
I'm just saying, if there's ever a time when it probably happened, it's probably that.
He was so nervous, I bet. It just, he couldn't help it. And what's really embarrassing now is now that I know his girlfriend was the stage manager and they're no longer together, do you think that's why they broke up? Or
it probably is. I mean, who wants to be known as the girl who's dating the guy who farted on stage?
The naked gas guy.
It's for sure the reason.
Nobody wants to be with that guy. I don't care if he was Harry Potter.
In fact, that makes it even worse.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was, okay, if it was Tom Cruise, you could be like, oh, but it's Tom Cruise. If it's the guy who's always going to be known as Harry Potter, who was also naked on stage in front of, like,
probably
a bunch of people.
Hundreds of people.
Yeah, probably. Then I don't want to be seen with you anymore. You know?
I like to imagine he got backstage naked, still reeking, and she was gone.
She just left forever. She was like, screw this world of theater.
Yeah, I am done with the stage. I shall trod the boards no more.
That's exactly how she sounded.
That's probably how I think she talks. And, she started a new life, either under the sea or back in Ireland or something.
Yeah.
Something different, not with Daniel Radcliffe, who apparently probably should see a doctor.
Yeah, that's just embarrassing, dude.
That's something only sick people do. yeah, poor Daniel Radcliffe. You know, he probably thinks he got off scot-free. He's probably like, oh, remember that one night on Equus where I passed gas? Like, I'm so lucky nobody caught that on tape and, like, it didn't become a thing. Well, guess what, Daniel Radcliffe? I don't forget.
I wasn't there, but I remember.
I wasn't there, but I have not forgotten. So, you know, just watch yourself.
We're so mature.
Yeah, well, I don't even know. That sounded like way more threatening than I wanted it to. Like, oh,
I don't know.
They're going to bring it up in the murder statutory rape Justin Bieber trial.
And then she goes on to threaten Daniel Radcliffe for his bodily functions.
She was so unhinged.
Her friend just sat idly by on painkillers.
She was putting this stuff on the internet and nobody said anything.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll be ranked.
I don't know. I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm not worried about it.
Now.
Yeah, well. But things have a way of working out for me. You know, like today I ran out of gas in my car. And,
Thanks for clarifying.
Well, after our Daniel Radcliffe discussion, I feel like I need to be specific. But I ran out of gas, and I, like, was just sitting there on the side of the highway, and I swear to you, like, I get out of the car, and I'm like, well, I guess I'm just walking to a gas station. I get, like, maybe 2 yards before a guy and his son pull over, and they're like, you need us to go get you some gas? And I was like, actually, that would be awesome. And, like, we're like, okay. And, like, 5 minutes later, first they push my car out of the way. Like, they push it into, like, a parking lot. And then, like, 5 minutes later, they come back with gas, and I was on my way. It set me back all of, like, 15 minutes, probably.
Oh, wow. You live in a nice place, then, because if that happened here, if I had a car and if it ran out of gas with me in it, I would probably be dead.
I was, you know, pretty nervous. I really don't live in a nice place. Like, it just happened totally randomly. And I was like, man, you know, that was unexpected.
Yeah.
And that's why I rock that too blessed to be stressed vanity plate.
Yeah, that's just like you, Maddie.
I don't really have one. Just in case anyone really thinks I do, I don't.
You're blessed, but you're still stressed.
I'm not a vanity plate person, really. Nothing against the sentiment, I suppose. It's just not really my style. Although, you know where it is everyone's style? Virginia. Virginia?
Really?
Yes, little known fact. Virginia is, like, the vanity plate capital of the world.
I sometimes see them in Chicago, and it's usually, like, you know, Mama Bear or something, and I'm like,
Yeah.
Like, they're usually pretty disgusting.
Yeah, no, they are, and they're, like, too clever by half, and I've almost gotten in several car accidents trying to decipher people's vanity plates. One, probably the best one, though, and it, again, too clever by half, it's a total geek thing, but it was AU Locks. Can you figure it out? AU Locks. It's pretty clever if you know your periodic table of elements.
Golden Locks.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yes.
That doesn't belong anywhere on your car.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, that's why vanity plates are stupid. But in Virginia, it only costs, like, when you renew your registration, like, an extra $5 to get a vanity plate. So, everybody does it.
I guess if it was cheap, I would do it, too.
Well, I feel the same way about vanity plates I feel about tattoos. I feel like you shouldn't get one just because you can. I feel like you should love something so much that you either want it on your car or, you know, on your body forever.
I would just get a vanity plate that says slut.
No, it has to be like 7, so it would have to be like, I'm a slut.
Just make it real clear who the slut is in the car.
Or we be sluts.
We be. I want a Z at the end of slut.
Sluts car. I mean, there's so many ways you could go with that. And people get pretty clever. AU Locks is the one that I keep, you know, that one stays with you.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is, like, I don't want my license plate to be out there for the world. Like, I would hate it if everybody was, like, just talking about my license plate number on the internet or, like, posting pictures of it online, which they do with the really clever ones, but then, like, your car and your license plate number is just out there for anybody to see.
Yeah, that's crucial information.
You know, which is why I would make my vanity plate my social security number.
Just have everything centralized. Yeah. That way you'll never forget.
That way I'm like, oh, what's my social security number? Oh, same as my license plate.
Yeah.
So
that's clever.
It would be so smart. And people would be like, oh, that looks like a social security number. But I know it can't be, because who would be stupid enough to make their social security number their vanity plate?
Little do they know.
That I am that clever.
So I guess that goes under, you know, the category things people love that we hate.
Yeah, I can find things. Way more things people love that I hate than I can things people hate that I love.
Because
I thought of another one this week until I realized that it wasn't a thing everybody else hated that I loved. It was still something everyone else loved that I hate. And that is The Notebook.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much anything by Nicholas Sparks. What else did he do? Like, all the crap ones.
Just any bad, sappy movie.
Yeah, and I went to, in Austin, they have the Alamo Drafthouse movie theaters where you can, like, drink and eat, and it's really cool. And they do, like, event movies, and they have this thing called Master Pancake, where it's basically, like, a live-action Mystery Science 3000 where it's guys who sit there in the front row with microphones and make fun of the movies. And I saw them do it with this movie, with The Notebook. And it was the first time I'd ever actually seen The Notebook. I felt like I didn't have to see it because all the girls I knew who I hated loved it. So, and they were not, shall we say, intellects. So I was like, nah, I don't really need to see this probably if you love it so much. So this was the first time I'd ever really seen it. And my God, was it awful. And then, in an audience that you would think would be people who hated The Notebook, they asked beforehand. They were like, okay, all the guys in the audience, who here hates The Notebook? And, you know, there's uproarious applause. They're like, all the ladies, who here hates The Notebook? One other girl.
One other girl. Are you serious?
Yes.
Were they tricked?
I don't know. That's how stupid women can be, Erin. That you can be, you can lure them to something like this by just saying, oh, it's The Notebook. Yeah, they'll be making fun of it, but they'll be like, oh, I love The Notebook.
Well, you know what happened is the guy probably had his girlfriend, you know, all of these guys and their girlfriends.
Yeah.
And he was probably like, hey, honey, you want to see The Notebook? I'll take you out. And she's like, oh, you're doing something so nice for me. And then they end up going and she's like, oh.
Yeah. You know, I just imagine, like, the Jim Gaffigan woman, like, if you ever the Jim Gaffigan routine where he plays the woman who disapproves of everything he does, and I could just see some girl in the audience, why are they making fun of it? I don't understand why you would do that. I don't like that. Like, that's kind of what I feel like was going on there. And so they have this thing where, like, oh, throughout this movie, there's one thing that keeps happening, and in this movie, it's, like, birds flying. So he's like, anytime you see a bird, we have to have something to yell up at the screen because it's like an interactive thing. And so they're soliciting various requests, and one girl raises her hand and she goes, everybody says you're a bird, I'm a bird, which is a quote from the movie and probably one of the stupidest ones. But back in the day in college, that was every girl's away message on AIM with little hearts. Like, I knew the quote because I knew it was, like, the away message for every girl I went to college with. And so I was like, no, what are you doing here? And so we ended up not going with that one, thank God.
Wisely.
Yeah, well, she was obviously out of her element, you know. So, but, yeah, it's so bad. And there's, like, a twist, but it's not really a twist. Again, if you've ever read a book in your life. I mean, if you have any basic understanding of the way people tell stories in the West since, you know, the Iliad, this should not be rocket science for you. But for some people, it obviously is. You know, we didn't all read the Epic of Gilgamesh.
Apparently not.
More's the pity, I always say. But no, it's just, it's predictable and it's stupid and it's obviously designed to push buttons like, oh, if you press this button, women do this. If you press this button, women do that. And I'm saying this because even though I was there and I hate it and I was a part of this thing where they're like, oh, let's all hate on The Notebook. You know, at the end of the movie, I was like, what if I don't remember my husband when I'm old? You know, I mean, like, it gets to you, man. And that's what the guy said at the beginning. The comedian's like, oh, man, I watched this with my wife. And by the time it was over, she was in tears. And she's like, what if when we're old, we don't remember each other? And I think that's, you know, you can't help but think that. By the way, spoiler, that's what happens in the movie.
Oh, no. Yeah. I actually hope that that's what happens to me, because I want to disremember a lot of things by the time I'm old.
That's easily solved by drinking heavily, though.
Oh, I've been working on that one.
Good.
Don't worry.
Good. Because, yeah, that's what happens is, you know, it takes place in this nursing home. And again, this is all spoilers, if anyone cares. It takes place in this nursing home. There's this old man reading this love story about this, like, Romeo and Juliet type couple who, like, get together despite all the odds, but don't die. They just, you know, get together despite the odds. And, you know, he's reading the story of this old woman, like, this Alzheimer's patient, and oh my God, it turns out it's about them, and she was the girl, and she doesn't remember. And then, yeah, so that's supposed to be the big bombshell.
Yeah, didn't he also do A Walk to Remember?
Yes.
If I remember this correctly, yeah.
Yes.
He likes to deal with death and mortality and sadness.
But he doesn't deal with it in a way, a particularly, like, insightful way. He just sort of throws it out there at you. Aren't these things sad? Like, that's all he does.
Yeah, do something serious, Sparks.
Yeah, you know, Nicholas Sparks, I'm issuing this challenge to you if you're listening, and you probably are, because what else do you do with all your copious amounts of time and money? I am going to change into a muumuu and a shower cap, and I will change into real clothes when you're ready to get serious.
Yes, I'm happy this is happening.
Mm-hmm. And seriously, that's what I'm doing when I sign off today. I'm getting out the muumuu and the shower cap, again, Homer Simpson style, and I will put on real clothes when Nicholas Sparks picks up his phone or sends me a message in a bottle or takes me on a walk to remember and says, hey, you know what? I'm ready to get serious. And then I will, I will doff my muumuu and shower cap and apparel myself in clothes of the finest quality.
Like jeans and a t-shirt?
Yeah, just normal stuff.
Awesome.
It'll be on standby. I'll have it. It'll be like break in case of Nicholas Sparks getting serious.
You'll be waiting for a while, Maggie.
Probably. So get used to the muumuu and the shower cap, people. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Again, a good thing we do a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. As opposed to a, I guess, like a public access show.
That's next on the list.
If we ever live in the same town, yes.
That would be awesome.
We could totally do like a Wayne's World thing.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that should be next on our list of things to do. Public access. Taking a dying...
You can't read all the time.
We'll take a dying medium by storm.
And then it won't be dead anymore. And they'll show it on the interwebs.
Well, I don't want Daniel Tosh to have to give us a web redemption or something. Like, and now the public access girls.
Because that's how we'll be known.
I would think so. Unless we could get, like, really interesting local guest stars, you know, like, homeless people with agendas or something.
Well, I guess you should move to Chicago then.
Well, somebody just told me a great story about, they were, again, in Austin with their dog, and there was a homeless guy who, I guess, walks around with, like, a belt with dog treats on it, and he was drunk. And he doesn't ask anything for the dog treats. Like, he just gives your dog treats. Like, he won't take money for it, as this woman explained it to me. But her dog, I guess, is really dumb. And so, like, it's a homeless man with a belt full of dog treats. And he couldn't give these treats away to this dog. Like, the dog's, like, looking everywhere but the treats. And he looks at the woman whose dog it is and he goes, oh, your dog's slow. And she was like, the drunk homeless guy just told me my dog is slow.
I just think putting dog treats on your belt, that's asking for trouble.
Trouble or delight?
I guess that depends on your demeanor. But...
and the kinds of dogs.
That's for sure.
Some dogs are people pleasers, not all are.
Rusty is. Rusty is my roommate's dog, and he's delightful.
Mm. Yeah, Hitchens is more like the homeless guy with an agenda.
He also sounds delightful, but then I like all dogs, so.
Yeah, that's a gift, because sometimes I don't even like Hitchens. Hitchens thinks he's better than me. I can just tell. And he just has a lot of weird, you know, like, he'd never walked upstairs before. We took him to a house with stairs. He'd never been upstairs before. By the end of the day, he was walking up the stairs backwards while never breaking eye contact with me. Okay, that's the kind of weird stuff my dog does that makes me, like, I feel weird even talking about it with him sitting here. I feel like he's, you know, going to take it out on me later or something.
I have friends who have cats who are like that. Like, they're very weird and they're almost kind of, how should I say, I don't know, psycho. Mm. Like, they would kill you in your sleep.
Mm.
But I've never, well, I've met a couple of dogs like that, but obviously they're just kind of crazy and you stay away from them.
Right. Yeah. It's a animals, the kingdom of the animals is a strange one. Okay, so I have one more item of business to discuss and I would be interested to hear your thoughts. And then I think we can do our current events porno and sign off for the night. Okay. So, the movie Bridesmaids came out this week and Erin, it should be mentioned, was one of my bridesmaids. And,
yeah, girl.
And I read a lot of enthusiastic reviews from women who loved it, and they were like, oh, you know, and my problem with all of these reviews that I was hearing from women is, like, it sounds like it deals a lot in scatological humor, which is not my go-to humor, so right off the bat, I'm kind of like, well, I don't know, and then a lot of the instances of hilarious scenes from the movie just kind of sounded like running a joke into the ground, like beating a dead horse kind of thing, but these women swore it was hilarious. And then I heard a review from a bunch of guys, and they were like, oh my god, it's all these women going to the bathroom and then running jokes into the ground. And I was like, that's what it sounded like to me. Like, okay, so I no longer have to see it. And I wanted so badly for it to be funny. But now I don't think I want to see it. You know, I feel like Tina Fey is probably the funniest woman who ever lived. And if there's a female-oriented, written, directed, produced comedy that does not involve Tina Fey, I probably don't need to see it.
Yeah, I mean, part of me has wanted to see this. If only because I do enjoy the actresses who feature in the film. But then another part of me sees reviews and, like, interviews with, like, Kristen Wiig that basically amount to, you know, this is, we're tired of hearing that this is such a revolution to have a comedy featuring women, written by women. And I'm like, who's saying that?
Yeah.
Who's sitting there saying, oh, wow, oh, this is amazing that it's all about women and written by women,
yeah,
for women.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that once except for from you, Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just don't get that that's the only thing we have to say about this movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
And so it doesn't make sense.
Well, I think people want it to be more than it is. I mean, I have actually heard that, but mostly from other women, like female writers, like feminist type writers who are like, oh my god, finally the girls get their own movie where they can be gross and just be funny. And I'm like, I'm all for that if you can show me a movie like that. And this doesn't sound particularly funny, so like, why are you gonna pick this one? And the guy who plays the love interest, I guess, is supposed to be, I read him described as a sexy Irish cop. I want everybody to Google Chris O'Dowd right now.
Okay, I'm doing it. Hold on, how do you spell it?
C-H-R-I-S-O apostrophe Dowd.
Like D-O-W-D?
D-O-W-D, yeah. Because he's on a very funny British show called The IT Crowd, which I love. But he plays a computer geek, and I always assumed he was cast because he has the body and demeanor of a computer geek. Like, he's kind of pudgy. He's, you know, I just never thought sexy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he seems just kind of meh.
Yeah, he seems like a nice enough guy, and he's not, like, hideously deformed. But, yeah, they're like, yeah, and then she has the sexy Irish cop, and I'm like, which proves you can slap an accent on anybody, and they become sexy.
That's why I walked around, you know, speaking like a Cockney man for so long. I just thought it improved my image.
Aye, governor, buy a flower off a poor girl.
Strangely, I didn't get any dates during that period in my life, but...
Did the governors at least buy flowers?
No.
Oh my god, you weren't even selling any flowers?
I tried, but alas, unsuccessful.
Yeah, they generally don't like that, I find. Particularly because you were only addressing actual governors in the literal sense.
Yeah, it's hard to come by those.
Yeah.
Margin of stock to make your business profitable.
There aren't a ton of governors, and they generally don't like being solicited. So, yeah, I'm sorry that didn't work out for you. But I guess for guys, anyway, you slap an accent on it, it makes them sexy. But I think women can be funny. I think you're funny. I enjoy the time I spend with you. I would stack you against any funny guy I know. But I don't know why it seems to be so difficult for women to make a comedy that has, like, broad appeal.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is it just that there were women writers? Is that the thing?
I think it is. It's women writers, it's a woman cast, and they're like, they do improv together.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I've seen a lot of strong female leads who are, you know, they're in comedic roles and they do very well, but I guess if you're looking for the whole shebang, yeah, okay, there's not a whole lot of that, but I still don't see why we need to make such a big deal about it.
Yeah, I don't know why, again, they chose to hang their bugle in the baldric of Bridesmaids to be like, oh, this is our film where women are finally funny together. and see women's friendships can be mined just as much for comedy as men's friendships. And I'm like, the problem is you picked a wedding. Okay, like, yeah. In the review I listened to, the guys started with, now we all know women get crazy about weddings. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, that's just it. I'm like, you pick like the most stereotypical thing for women to get all excited about. And then we're like, oh, see, it's like a movie where chicks are being funny. I'm like, no, but it's a wedding. Like, you're just reinforcing stereotypes. Nobody wants to see that. Like, well, I don't. I don't know.
Yeah, it seems pretty dry. I don't know. I'm not too excited about it, to say the least.
I'm really not. I just keep waiting for James McAvoy to make another movie. I will go see X-Men First Class.
Is he in that?
Yeah, he plays Dr. Charles Xavier.
Will he be wearing a shirt?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
But it is Charles Xavier before he gets handicapped, so you'll get to see his legs.
Awesome.
I don't know. But James McAvoy, it should be noted, does not always look, I mean, he's not always rippling with muscles. I mean, it depends on the role.
Yeah, he's kind of like Seth Rogen, only in reverse.
What?
Well, because Seth Rogen is sometimes a little pudgy, but then sometimes he bulks up a little bit for roles, whereas James McAvoy can sometimes be a little, you know, bony.
Yeah. Well, I like to think of him as, like, you know, like a smaller Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, I guess. I would actually rank him above Ewan McGregor.
See, but I would if I didn't have a special place for Ewan McGregor in my heart from Moulin Rouge times in high school.
Yeah.
So he'll just always have, you know, first dibs on my heart. Not that he cares, but, you know.
Not that he remembers.
Not that anyone remembers anymore. But there was a time. So, yeah. No, but I love James McAvoy. I think James McAvoy looks like my husband. Aaron disagrees.
I can kind of see a resemblance, but I just don't see a strong one. I'm sorry.
You haven't really spent a lot of time with him, and I would say that he doesn't always look like him. I think it's particularly striking in Last King of Scotland, if only because before I was even really dating my husband, my family would call and be like, oh my god, Last King of Scotland's on with that guy who looks like that Jeremy guy. We laugh and laugh.
One of the goriest films ever.
Exactly, yeah, which is a terrible film. And they're, I mean, I know it's a good film, but I mean, it's just bad things happen in it, you know, and so they're just like, oh, it's so funny, we can't even watch it, because it just looks just like him, so, which I remember thinking when I saw The Chronicles of Narnia, and being like, oh, Mr. Tumnus looks like that Jeremy guy.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, I'm gonna rewatch that one.
Okay.
Because I just don't see how you could pick that. But
yeah,
okay.
I don't know. I mean, maybe you have to have spent a lot of time with him, but then that sort of disproves my argument that it's a striking resemblance. Yeah. If it was striking, you wouldn't need to spend a lot of time with him. But I'm telling you, Inner City Kids told him he looked like the guy from Atonement.
I think I remember this story.
Yeah, my husband got tasked to go talk to some Inner City Kids about, like, doing well in school when he was in college, and so he goes to talk to the kids, and then he's like, hey, you know, any questions? And the first kid who raises his hand, he goes, yeah, you ever seen Atonement? And Jeremy's like, I'm sorry, what? And he goes, yeah, have you ever seen Atonement? And Jeremy's like, I mean, like, previews, why? And he's like, and he looks at the other kids, doesn't he look like that guy from Atonement? And all the inner city kids nodded in agreement. So apparently, not only was Atonement big in the inner city, but, it was striking enough that the whole time he was talking, evidently all the kids could think about was, wow, he looks like the guy from Atonement.
Maggie, to us, all white people look alike anyways. Mm. So that could have been a lot of it.
Mm. Well, and to be fair, Aaron and I are both Latinas. I don't know if you know this, but you're listening to two spicy Latinas. And maybe that's why Jeremy looks like James McAvoy to me. I can't tell the difference.
That's probably it. I mean, maybe I'm just viewing him through my white people side of the family, and then you're viewing him through your spicy Latina side of your family tree. And so to you, it's a striking resemblance because he's just some white guy. But to me, it's kind of like, well, no, I can see the nuances there.
Yeah, see, I'm looking at him with my Spanish eyes.
That's for sure.
So that's probably, thanks for diagnosing that problem for me.
Anytime.
It's all clear now. Muchas gracias.
De nada.
De nada. Yeah, Aaron and I, yeah, we were both Latinas, and there's a great story about a time we were enjoying lunch in college one day, just quietly eating in a corner, and this girl comes and sits down and throws her books down on the table and exclaims, "It smells like Mexican in here." And Aaron and I, without consulting each other, both just start chewing more slowly and sort of look up in an unfocused way, like, why? What does that mean? And she goes, "No, I mean, is it taco day or something? Like, it smells like tacos or something." And I was like, oh, thank God.
But I was still unsure whether she meant we smelled like tacos.
We probably did.
I know I do.
Well, but we've talked about this. Those packets, they're like, the taco seasoning packets are like 50 cents a piece. I mean, it's so tempting just to draw a bath after a long day at work and just soak in it.
Yeah, it's like cool, refreshing, but also a little picante.
Exactly.
And, you know,
un poco picante.
It's very good for your skin.
I think it's all the sodium.
Probably.
Sodium is very good for the skin, I hear. From the homeless guy with dog biscuits on his belt.
He has a lot of good beauty tips, man.
People knock that guy and they really shouldn't. So, anyway, so I think we've said about all we have to say about things we hate, things we don't hate, things we love that everyone else hates. I feel like we've said all we have to say about that.
Pretty much.
Shall we concoct a current events porno?
Yes. I have, like, the situation ready.
All right.
So earlier we talked about our maybe romantic or maybe not romantic loves for two certain pop stars.
Yes.
What if they met?
Oh, my God. Yes. I don't know. You would have to assume that they have. But
I don't know, because Britney Spears is pretty secretive these days.
Yeah, I think that would have been bigger news. Okay, so our current events porno is a young, inexperienced, naive Justin Bieber meeting the older seductress Britney Spears.
The older seductress.
The older seductress. Probably, I don't know, I like to envision this taking place in his native Canada.
I'm more comfortable with that, too.
Yeah, because I feel like they could probably get away with it there. Like, nobody's really going to check up on them.
Well, and also, isn't the age of consent, like, lower there? They're pretty backwards.
I thought it was, like, 9.
Yeah, right?
Something like that. So, our current events porno, in which it's a feature where at the end of every episode we sort of, we say current events, but it's very rarely ever based in actual fact, where we just sort of take real-life personages and construct scenarios under which one might film a porno. And I think the idea of Justin Bieber meeting Britney Spears is as likely and as sexy a scenario as you're likely to find.
I agree.
I think so. So thank you for that, Aaron.
Anytime.
So this has been the conclusion of our two-part arc of Because You Can't Read All the Time about things we hate or things other people hate.
And that we may or may not love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I hope that's not too confusing for everyone. But thank you for listening, and tune in next week. We'll announce the topic at some point before Sunday night when we record these things.
Yay.
So have a good night, everybody out there in podcast land. Say bye, Aaron.
Bye, Aaron.